I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open. I'll be going through a lot of these verses very directly. In fact, if you don't already know, Acts is somewhat of a part two of the Gospel of Luke. It shares the same author. And Luke, in his gospel, does this amazing thing. He's a historian and a theologian. He teaches us about God and specifically Jesus Christ, but he also gives a very good historical record of what Jesus did on earth. But what's so cool is in Acts, Luke shares what Jesus continues to do after his ascension through the church. And so this fits so well with our sermon series as we share the vision behind our discipleship pathway, because it's exactly what God is doing through us here at Messiah. The work that Jesus Christ continues through us, his body. And it's kind of amazing because even as difficult as it may seem in our culture, in our context today, what we're trying to accomplish here, specifically through our discipleship pathway, is exactly what Luke captured in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to God's word, and the fellowship, the family, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And it's kind of an amazing mirror of the early church, but I see it here too. You see, we see a church that was growing. And we saw people that were growing. They were learning and growing in how they love God, love others, and share Christ. And God's word was what was growing them. And otherwise, without his word, this growth was not possible. Besides Luke, God this morning is speaking his words through another broken, sinful man. One whom he's grown by his word and changed his life completely. So Luke is actually putting us in the middle of Peter, his sermon on Pentecost. Do you remember Peter? If you need a refresher, he's that fisherman. That lowly fisherman who was Jewish, who became a very ambitious follower of Jesus. He was that one that so pridefully committed to Jesus and protecting him and caring for him and being with him. And yet he kept falling drastically short. Drastically short. He's the one that so badly wanted to believe, but in the face of any kind of trials, his faith seemed to fail him sometimes. But you see, that was all a part of growing. It was a journey he was on to become a preacher, a confessor of Christ as the Messiah, and a good one at that. One that was so good at preaching that he could cut hearts. He could open eyes and ears to hear about Jesus, whom he knew. And that's exactly what we have in our reading today. It's one of those sermons that cuts hearts. In fact, Pastor John last week had the verses after this. These are the words that cut those hearts that were in worship. So what's even cooler is Peter in his message doesn't just use his own words. He uses these amazing words of another man, another broken man named David. You remember David? He was that lowly shepherd boy who took down Goliath. But he was David that became King David. And he was that King David that committed adultery and murder and he got caught red-handed. But he confessed his sins to God and was forgiven and not only wrote some amazing psalms, but he was a great king for God's people. And he became a prophet and an integral part of God's plan of salvation. Wow. Talk about it. Just a few examples right there of men who God grew over time and grew amazingly. Now, this growth wasn't easy and it certainly didn't happen overnight. But it's powerful growth. It's something we all need to pay close attention to. And so if you look at the words from our reading today in verse 29, brothers, Peter says, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried and his tomb is with us to this day. He's speaking to people that knew David quite well. And they might have heard of Jesus and they might even kind of know Jesus and who he was, but they certainly know David. But he's saying, as amazing as David was, the warrior, the king, the prophet, the man after God's own heart that we know, he was not the Messiah. He was not the one to raise first. He's buried and dead. He too needs a Lord and a Savior. And being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. Peter is referring to 2 Samuel 7:16 and 1 Chronicles 17, where God in these words promises, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Here Peter is having it revealed to him by God, makes it clear that there was someone that would come from David. Someone they knew was coming. And this promise to David was a promise to God's people. And this promise led David to prophecy that from his lineage would come a Messiah. And Jews hearing Peter were potentially like, "Oh yeah, that's right, forgot about that. I knew that." But Peter makes a less obvious revelation that is so important in verse 31. David, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. You see, he's saying David also knew this meant that God, through the Messiah, would defeat death. He would make a way where there previously had been no way. David believed in and wrote about the resurrection. If you're unfamiliar, in these Psalms, he talks about the Messiah as God's son and king, and the one who would be resurrected but would not abandon his soul, David's, or let his Holy One see corruption. He believed in one that would have his hands and feet pierced and his garments divided. And he believed in a Messiah that would be an eternal priest and king. So he's exactly what King David prophesied and words that were passed down from generation to generation of the Jews, whom Peter is preaching to. Peter tells them, "Remember what King David said." Well, King David was talking about a God-man that I met named Jesus Christ. And you may have heard of him too. You may have even met him. He's saying, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, counted equal with God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit." He's given that authority to give out the Spirit, and he's poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Peter's saying, "I know I seem like just a fisherman, but I'm able to preach with this authority and this power because of the Holy Spirit that's been given to me, and you're able to hear it because of the Holy Spirit that's been given to you." And he says one more thing. He says, "Still don't believe me. Still holding on to the past and King David. You can't elevate Jesus to be your Lord." Well, he was David's. He said, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" King David knew that he was not the Messiah, but he knew God was going to send one. And that while he will die, God is going to send the Messiah, glorify him by raising him from the dead, and he will then make all things new. And King David knew he too would rise as the Messiah rose first. Peter wants us all to know this, and that's why in verse 36 he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is what he wants everyone to know. And he preaches it so powerfully. And you might be thinking to yourself, those words were the words before the cut hearts. Do you think those words cut a heart? Yes. Do you think those words will open up a heart? And that's why they came forward and said, "What shall we do?" Well, it made fertile soil for growth. Growth is an amazing thing. I can look back on my life, and I'm sure you can too. In those times of growth, you look back on so fondly now and say, "Wow, look what God did in my life." But it's usually in hindsight. It's not at the catalyst or the beginning of growth, or in the middle of those difficult times you're growing and feeling some of that frustration and tension and challenge. Those are not fun parts of growth. In fact, sometimes we have to be confronted to grow by someone or something or some circumstance. Oftentimes, something has to halt. Our lives have to come to a screeching halt, to stop or even die. Something about our life might have to die so that new growth can occur. And if you've been through what I'm talking about, you might say that all sounds pretty reasonable, but I have to tell you, by our nature, and with the influence of our culture, it does not ask us to be and have, and it does not encourage healthy confrontation. The world encourages fight or flight. It doesn't encourage humbly coming together and coming forward to unite as we can help each other, saying, let's figure this out. Let's help you grow. But that's how God talks. That's what God encourages. This is how he works. And that is how and why he calls us as his church, as his children, to act. And his ways are far better than our ways. And any growth you and I go through, as amazing as it is as we look back, it always starts at the cross. And the cross is never easy. So when it comes to you and your call to grow, knowing God has called you, he saved you, and he wants you to grow, I want you to ask these difficult questions to yourself. I've asked them to myself, and they've helped me, as hard as it is to do. When is the last time you heard God's voice speaking to you? When is the last time the pure word of God shaped or formed your life or a part of it? When is the last time your decision-making about your job, your health, your relationships, your kids, or even your daily routine were formed by God's voice, not your own? When is the last time you picked up the phone and called your pastor just to seek counsel? To say, what does God have to say about this in my life? When's the last time you were so struck by God's word you had to just pause and say, what shall we do? Well, I have good news. There's a process. There's a pathway. There's a journey that God in his grace and in his mercy calls us to that can help you. Last week, Pastor John kicked off this sermon series about our discipleship pathway, and he started with worship, the place we should always begin, but right here. He started with the waters of holy baptism, but today we get to talk about how this is just a beginning of what God has planned for you. So far, we've referenced the Apostle Peter, King David, but there's another guy. There's another guy that was loved, saved, changed, and called by God, and he has such a unique gift for articulating how God does this in our lives. And he said this, he said, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. We have so many powerful testimonies of how God works in people's lives. Him, Peter, King David, and there are many others that have been humble and passive recipients of God's grace, but when they received it, they were cut to the heart. They were so moved because they'd been delivered from their trespasses. They'd been made alive in Christ, and they'd been raised up in the present tense while they walked this earth, just like you and me. And they live now in the kingdom of God as you and I live in the kingdom of God. They get to, as we get to, receive the experience of the heavenly places as they live here and now. And I know it's only a part of what we will have as the immeasurable riches of God's grace, which will be fully revealed to us. But we get to see it here and now. And the best part about all these people that Scripture tells us about whose lives have been changed is if you look at what they do next, all they want to do is tell you about it. They've all written it down because it's good for you to hear. They want you to know how their lives have been changed, but how your life has been changed. And God is loving, saving, growing, and calling you too. And now, ladies, you might be thinking, all right, Andy, you've named three amazing dudes, and they're great and powerful. But if you're feeling left out, just remember the Apostle Paul said, there is no distinction between male and female when it comes to being united in Christ Jesus. And what he meant was, God changes you ladies' lives too. In fact, we have so many examples. His own mother, who gave virgin birth, her life was never going to be the same. She got to watch the Messiah grow up in front of her very eyes. The same with Elizabeth, who was the mother of the one crying in the wilderness that prepared the way for the Messiah. Anna, an elderly prophetess who could recognize the Messiah even when he was a baby. He had not performed any miracles other than being born of a virgin yet. Mary Magdalene, who had been delivered from demons and followed Jesus every day after and got to witness his resurrection. Mary and Martha, who got to see him as the resurrection of the life. The Samaritan woman who believed her life was outside of God's plan of Israel. And Jesus said to her, "You are mine." And her life was changed forever. The woman with the alabaster jar that gave up everything, that used so much money that she had earned to just give perfume to the one she knew would not be with her because he was going to die for her sins. These are the people who heard of the love of God for them and they learned of their salvation because of Jesus Christ. They were cut to the heart and then they grew. They changed. They were transformed, and as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, they continued to grow each and every day. This meant they were changed. They were unleashed. Like a caterpillar from a cocoon that became a butterfly, they became who God made them to be. But it means they had to leave some things behind. They couldn't be a caterpillar anymore. They had to make sacrifices. They had to end some relationships and start some new ones. They had to slow down. They had to restart and sometimes rebuild their lives. And to be clear, they didn't have to earn it, but they had to because they were compelled to. They wanted to. They knew it was the way it had to be. So my question is for you, if you have not already begun this process, are you ready? Are you ready to come on the adventure of a lifetime that God is calling to you? A journey that is not perfect, but a journey that is amazing. A journey that is so much better than anything else you've tried and anything else this world can offer you. And that journey is to follow Christ each and every day of your life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God has been rich in his mercy to you. He has loved you enough to bring you here to hear the gospel that grows people today. He's invited you to this place. I don't care if you're here for the first time or you've been here 20 years. There is a pathway for you to grow and change by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it works right here. He's forgiven you your trespasses. He's calling you to be raised up, not just when he returns, but to experience the fruits of the Spirit right now, today. Hear me clearly here. God didn't just save you so that you can fall short and be miserable every day, and then you can go to heaven by grace through faith in Christ. He didn't intend for you to run on some hamster wheel of life, suffering until you die or until he comes back. He didn't intend for you to live a shell of a life or never really live at all, and then your eternal life can begin in heaven. He didn't say he wanted you to have a life that is filled and yet unfulfilled. He, Jesus, died so that you may live right here and right now and live abundantly. He has called you out of the world. He's created you for his workmanship. He wants you to experience love, his love, real love, and he wants you to grow in it. He wants that to be your fuel. He has called you to grow, not to be comfortable, but to be formed and changed in ways you could never imagine, in ways that are possible when you are fully known and loved. And I ask you this question, men, you know that good and godly man you want to be? He is loving you, calling you, and preparing you to be that. Ladies, you know that good and godly woman you want to be? He is loving you, calling you, and preparing you to be that. You would not be sitting here if that wasn't true. There are so many other people he could have called to have been here today. But for his purposes, he's calling you. I believe that. And through God's word, he's asking you to believe that. His promises are for you and for your children and all that are far off. Do you want to grow? Then come and grow. Be healed. Be pruned, and then watch what he can do with your life. But while he has saved you and called you, he invites you to take the next step. He isn't about making you feel bad and growing you out of guilt. He isn't about coercing you into doing something you don't want to do. He wants the real and honest you to be a part of what he's doing. And he wants the real you to receive his gifts. He is calling you to a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit has been given to you. And these are the fruit of that spirit. So if you are cut to the heart and wondering, Pastor Andy, what shall I do? In closing, as an on-ramp for the next steps that you can take on the discipleship pathway, I want you to evaluate what is next for you. Do you need to stop? Do you need to stop, look, and listen, and hear God's voice again? Do you need to make space for Him in your life? Get support, join a study, be in God's Word no matter what it takes. It might take a good hard look in the mirror, and it might even be painful, but you need to be with people, people we have here who can help you do that and walk with you through that. That's why God has sent us, and that's why you're here. Or do you need to prune? Have you taken that look in your life? You know, you've seen it, and you've got to cut stuff out. Even good stuff. Because the world says more, and God says enough. Or do you need to heal? You've been through the stopping, you've been through the pruning, you've looked in the mirror, and you're hurting. Do you need to go and let the healer heal, to be in worship, to be in prayer, to be in community and seek counsel? If so, let's go. Or are you ready to grow? Have you been through those things, or those aren't those things in God's journey for you? Are you healthy and available, but maybe you've been seeking comfort over growth? Or are you fearful to put yourself out there because you're not sure what God's going to do in your life? It may not be the plans you've always had. It's time to get in the game. It's time to be a leader, an advocate, a servant, a witness, and one who gets to celebrate. What are you celebrating? The amazing fruit of God's grace working in your life. And then you can watch as the lives around you too are changed. It's not just you, but Him working through you. The question I want to leave you with is, what is your next step to grow as one who has loved, saved, and is being changed by God? Let's find out together. Amen. Couple journal questions. We'll have them up later too if you need to grab them, but just quickly, I want to ask you, as I've asked myself, am I really ready to take the next steps to follow Jesus? What is it for me? And it might be one of these specific ones. Do I need to stop? Do I need to prune? Do I need to heal? Or am I ready to grow? I pray you are. As you go from here, I'd love to talk about that and counsel any way that I can. Always reach out to your pastors. We love you. And we look forward to sharing that time to help you grow.